Hello and happy new year, Life Zesters. Welcome back. If this is your first time listening, I'm your host, Genevieve, and I'm so happy you're here. I hope that this is a great kickoff to your year. I gotta tell you, I'm freaking pumped this week. I don't know what it is about this year. If you listened to the last episode with Lauren that closed off 2021, you already know how I feel about resolutions, but there's just something about the start of something fresh. I can feel this like energy around us where people are refocused. I think there's almost this like restored belief in self. We're highly motivated. And if you are listening to this right now and you're thinking, I'm actually not feeling any of that, know that this is okay, right? There's going to be times where we were able to experience two emotions, right? Like the light and the dark. And I don't know, I'm feeling this. I think we're still a little hesitant because of the lack of certainty and what's ahead of us. But I feel like it's a really good time to lean in to, again, that restored faith. Faith in self, faith in what's going on around us, and whatever spectrum you are in right now. I think you're going to find today's episode very beneficial and something that you can relate to. So another reason why this week in itself is an exciting week for me, and I don't know if I would say exciting, but more of a time of reflection for me. So 8 years ago, I moved to New York. It was one of the biggest leaps of faith I've ever taken. I wasn't even graduated from college. I actually did my last credits in New York and didn't attend my graduation. And I packed up my life. And when I mean I pack up my life, I mean everything from old notes from friends, photo collages, my baby bear that I used to sleep with as a kid. We all had something, right? And there was just something in me that was assured that New York City was going to be my new home. And I was willing to do whatever I needed to do to make it there. Now, if you are new here and you don't know me, this might be a little spoiler for this story because I no longer live in New York. And with that being said, you know that making that my home and having that be my new career path was not what ended up working out for me. And honestly, it took me a while to truly accept that and to find value in what I get to do today. And that's something that we're going to talk about today. So the difference in knowing, you know, when to really invest in a goal and when to move forward with a goal and when to know that it's time to, you know, break up with a goal, that it is time to part ways with that goal. And New York did both of these things for me. So while I did call it home for a couple of years, it will always hold a special place for me. Reflecting on my time here, there, this year really made me think about my gratitude for what the experience gave me, what I took away from it, and thinking about where you might be at right now when you are thinking resolutions, you're thinking goals, you're thinking next steps. And I want to make this so that no matter what stage in your life you're at, right? This doesn't need to be at the start of a new year. So if you're listening to this and it's not New Year's, that you can change your course of direction during any season in your life, right? Or you can take time to reassess where you're at and think, is this a time where I need to just reinvest my energy? I need to recommit, refocus, or is it time where I need to take a different course? So what I'm going to share with you today is a big part of when I realized that my dream in New York was no longer the dream that was for me. And I think that that spot can be very confusing, both chasing a dream, investing a dream, and deciding that a dream and a vision is not for you are uncomfortable, right? Taking that big risk or realizing that something is no longer for you, there can be a lot of fear in both situations, fear of the unknown, fear for the lack of certainty. Something that I heard, and you've probably heard this as well, but it sticks out to me, is that you can see fear as forgetting everything and running, right? Allowing fear to push you away from something, to run away from something. Or fear can stand for feeling everything and rise. And I like to have the F stand for feeling, because I think that you need to sit in something long enough that you can feel the sensations, you can feel the emotions, you can feel what the universe or what your body, what your mind is trying to tell you. And fear can push us in different ways. So how do you know then when to lean into the resistance, right? I think fear can kind of cause resistance. Discomfort can cause resistance. And when to identify that resistance is a message telling you that this is no longer for you. It is time for you to change your path. So I think there's two types of the resistance. There's the type that is meant to put you in a place that pushes you to make you stronger. So this can be the kind of resistance that helps you to develop new skills, maybe a different mindset, a different perspective, can also strengthen your resilience. So in that case, that kind of resistance would be forcing you to lean into an opportunity to say, I'm going to take this risk, right? So the kind of resistance or discomfort that I felt when I was living in New York and I was working on my goals, that was the kind of resistance where I wanted to continue to invest in my dream. And then there's the type of resistance that tells us it's time to redirect our course of action. Now, for some, that might be a complete 180. So if we're thinking careers, it might mean that you're taking a totally different career path. You're leaving a job. You're leaving an industry. You know, you're starting your own job. You're going back to school. And for others, it might just be subtle changes. So maybe a different role within the company. Maybe doing the same thing, but switching to a different company itself. So I want to backtrack a bit, because I think that the story I'm going to share with you today is something that you're going to see both sides of this in. And I got to be honest, parts of this story I have never publicly shared. All right, we're really getting in deep. So I think we're going to be, can we say it? Zest friends? We're about to become zesties. Is that a thing? This is something that it took me a while to really have to, again, sit with. And to understand why things happen the way they do. And that takes time, right? It takes space. And within the last couple of years, I really have grown to understand the path that I was on. And I think that we'll continue to figure that out as we go, right? Understanding why things happen for a reason. So when I first started off, I'm from Boise originally. I was going to Boise State studying journalism. I was a writer for the Arbiter, which is the sports newspaper for them. And I was also doing self-esteem workshops for girls and competing in the Miss America system. So very scholastically involved, very community involved. And I knew that when I graduated, I wanted to move on and do something bigger. And what it was at the time, you know, I kind of had this situation where growing up, I was infatuated with everything. I never had like a single track focus. I played soccer. I was in choir. I played piano. I was in Girl Scouts. So I knew that I liked to be active. I knew I liked to use the creative side of my brain. I knew I really loved helping people. And one thing that was consistent, though, was I loved writing. I specifically loved learning about people and sharing their stories, which, you know, that's part of why I started this podcast, is I really enjoy getting to know others and giving them a space where they can share their lessons, they can share their journey. So I decided when I was in college that this love of health and fitness that I was developing, learning more about myself, I wanted to share that with others. So I wanted to write for a magazine that would help to provide tips and tools and resources for women to feel empowered and energized in their bodies. So that's something that has been a common theme for me. And an internship had opened up in New York City to work for Women's Health Magazine. And I applied. And they were, I think what I learned a lot is that in New York, a lot of the internships are given to people on the East Coast. I think just because, same thing with like Seattle. If you're on Seattle, you're likely going to run into a lot of people who are in the Northwest. And I remember my interview, she said, you're from Idaho. We've actually really never worked with anyone from Idaho. You'd be willing to just pack up and move over here for a 4-month internship. And I said, yes, because I'm someone who I fully invest in what I want to do. So I got the internship, and there's a lot of unknown, right? A lot of uncertainty. I'd actually never been to New York City before. I didn't know anyone who was living there. I didn't even know my roommate. It was back when we used Craigslist, and my mom was convinced. She said, when you left, I was convinced I was going to get a phone call telling me that it was a spam and you did not have a roommate. You did not have a place to stay. But sure enough, I had a really great first roommate who helped me out, helped me to navigate the subway system without getting lost. I learned how to walk with a purpose, which was something that was really hard to lose when I moved back home. Because the sidewalks are chaotic. Like, you've got to have a one-point focus to get where you're going. Otherwise, you're going to run into somebody. And I really developed a very strong backbone and a sense of confidence that I'd never had before in my life. New York really helped me to tap into who I was and what I wanted. So this goal that I'd envisioned is that I was going to start off interning for Women's Health Magazine. And I'd pictured it out, right? We're visionary people. So I pictured it. I was going to intern, and then a job to work on the editorial side of Women's Health was going to open up. So while I was interning, I was also working at Equinox at the front desk. And when my internship was up, there was no job that was readily available. And I decided, you know what, that's okay. I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to continue to work whatever jobs I need to until a job opens. So that was when I got into personal training. I was a personal trainer with Equinox, and as a personal trainer there, they were incredibly long days. You were typically one of the first people to show up in the morning, especially when you're first starting, right? You're trying to fill your schedule, and you're working around other people's schedule. So you're opening up your availability to them. So you're there first thing in the morning, your schedule's a little bit scattered, you're there until late at night. And when I first started, I was navigating this in like the hottest, most humid months, July and August, going back and forth. And I loved it though. I loved being able to empower people in the way their bodies could move, which is why I've continued to stay in the health and fitness industry. It was really like this cool gift to be able to help people find confidence in their own skin, because that was something that I really had to work on growing up, and honestly had to work on through my whole 20s. And to be able to also help them strengthen their mindset. I mean, the individuals who you're working with at Equinox, a lot of them are business professionals who are very successful. And just mindset's everything with anything we do. And it really challenged me. I'd never done anything like that before. It was a very unfamiliar territory for me. Didn't have any classes in kinesiology in college. So I was just like a sponge that summer and absorbed everything. Started to train in through the fall. And then a position opened up to be the assistant to the publisher of Women's Health Magazine, as well as the vice president of Rodale Publishing. And while I wanted to be on the editorial side, I knew that this would be a foot in the door, right? If I could just get my foot in the door, start to develop some connections and relationships. I knew I didn't have any experience in advertising or sales, but I feel like I'm a fast learner. And when given something to me, I will fully invest myself. And I think that that's an important thing to realize when you're trying to decide, is this vision for me? Is this opportunity for me? Like, what are you willing to do? I call it the shit sandwich. Like, what are you willing to eat? So your shit sandwich to get where you want to go. And for me, I was willing to have to relearn everything. I was willing to have to put in the long hours, the long day, to feel very uncomfortable so that I could end up on that editorial side. So I went in for the interview, and I remember talking to this woman and telling her I had no experience, but I was willing to do whatever it took. And I was a fast learner, hard worker, felt like I had actually crushed my interview. And towards the end, she was asking more about my resume. And on my resume, it said that I competed in Miss America. So this is where you never know where your experiences in life are going to get you. In Miss America, if you know, it's a highly involved, it's the number one provider of scholarship for women in the world. And at the time, just very, very, the women who have gone on to compete in it have been some of my biggest role models. Very intelligent, very active in their communities, very kind. And fortunately, she also knew about the Miss America system. And she said, I see that you competed in Miss America. I had some friends who competed in that, and I know what kind of work ethic it takes. So if you competed in that system, I think you'll make it here, which was wild to me. I would have never thought that would have been the reason I would have gotten that job. And that's what happened. I got the job, and it was the most uncomfortable I've ever been in my life up until starting my own businesses. I was learning how to run reports and pull all these numbers like I'd never done before, learning all these different systems, also how to work in a fast-paced environment like that. And I just found myself completely out of my comfort zone, you know, being the first one to go in, the last to go. Up until this experience, I was a really firm believer that if you put in the work, you're going to get the result you want. For me, I believe that by putting in the work for this role of assisting the vice president of Rodale and assistant to the publisher of Women's Health, it was going to get me a spot on the editorial team. What it looked like was making sure that I was not just doing my job, but also going out to happy hours, making connections, you know, kind of playing the game, right? You know, if you're trying to get somewhere, connections and relationships are everything. And I want to go back and make sure that that's genuine relationships, right? Something that I really learned. So during my job, during working for this woman, a role for the editorial assistant opened. And this was actually who I interned for. So the job that I would be taking was the woman who I'd interned for when I first moved to New York. And I'd also done some work for the editor. So I thought, for sure, you know what? I can at least get an interview in. I know I can get the job. So I spoke with my boss, who I'd already communicated in my initial interview that I wanted to be on the editorial side of Women's Health. And I think this is another important thing, is to speak what you want, right? To put out in the universe what you want, to tell people what you want. We can't just assume that people know, right? And I think it's also important that just because you say it one time doesn't mean that cuts it. I think to be really intentional and to make sure that you're continuing to vocalize. So if you've told your boss that you want a promotion, if you've told your boss that you want a raise, you know, you don't need to be telling them every single day, but just making sure that you're being consistent in your communication. Hey, I'm still invested in this. Hey, if this opens up, I want you to know I'm still interested in this. We're not mind readers, and we're all on our own tracks too. So we're all at the end of the day focused on ourselves. So you've got to be your biggest advocate. When I spoke with my boss, she said to go for it, that I had her support, and I was really excited. This is something that you're going to find when I give you these lists of questions that you should be asking yourself. What helps us to identify when to stick with a goal or when to go for a goal and when to redirect? And if you're excited, that's a big part. You should be excited about what steps you're going to take. Nervous? Yeah. Uncomfortable? Yes. But excitement should be there. And so even though I was working my long days, being the first person in the office, you know, making sure I was getting my workout in at the beginning of the day, taking care of myself so that I could take care of others, last person to leave, I was going home and I was putting together a portfolio to apply for this job and a cover letter. I applied and I thought, for sure, right? Again, I had this mindset of, if I work for it, if I put the work in, the outcome that I want will be given to me. And in this life, nothing's given to us. That's something that's really important. We have to work for it. And a couple weeks go by, and I had no interview. Right? So in the meantime, I'm continuing to invest in everything that I can into my job. You know, the things that were expected, and if you've never been someone's assistant, I always find that when I share this story with people, it's kind of like a little bit of a shock factor. But your job is to make sure that they can do their job well, right? So in addition to my own work, I need to make sure that I'm showing up in a way that allows whoever I'm assisting for to show up the best that they can in their role. And that starts with everything from how her day runs, making sure that all the work is done, how her personal life even. In this case, I'm a personal assistant as well. So I would pick up her breakfast first thing in the morning. To this day, I still remember what it is. It was 2 hard-boiled eggs, 2 slices of baguette from Le Pain, and 2% fahe yogurt with strawberry honey. and then 1 cup of black Lipton tea. It's funny the things that get engraved in your brain, right? And this was ready on her desk when she would arrive. And then after that, it was everything from running reports with different ad agencies, preparing presentations, you know, managing her schedule, making sure her fresh direct order was placed, ordering client gifts, arranging dinners, making her meals during the day, organizing for her drives throughout the day and her trips. I would manage and organize retreats and conferences, including personal life was things like scheduling personal appointments, booking, making sure that she arrived where she needed to. I remember there was a weekend, gosh, it must have been like probably February, and there were all these crazy storms that were going on. And I remember rearranging flights late at night to ensure she got where she needed to be. But again, your job is to make sure that they can operate smoothly. And I even went to the extent of I bartended. It was like a kid's charity function for one of her kids' schools at her condo in Dumbo. And I'd never bartended. I had no idea what I was doing. But I did that and then organized her kids' birthday parties. And man, it was quite the experience. But again, I knew that all of this was important to helping her do her job well. And it did. She was able to put women's health at the top in our market and advertising. I mean, she really was fantastic at her job and up until then had been really just treated me very well. And so even though it wasn't the job that I wanted to be doing, I was willing to, again, what's your shit sandwich? What are you willing to do to get where you want to be? And so I knew that at the time, that was the steps that it took for me to do that. Now, before I tell you the rest of the story, I think it's a good time to start to go into the reasons of why we invest in our dreams and when it's time or when to know that it's time to get out. You know, I think if an important thing here is to remember that you are allowed to change your mind, right? This is your life. This is your vision. You are allowed to change your course of action at any time if you no longer feel like you're on the right path. You are not stuck where you are. I think some of the reasons why we continue to stay in something that is not meant for us, whether that's a goal that we've set for ourselves, a relationship that no longer serves us, a career that we no longer desire to be a part of, you know, the reasons why we would hesitate anything that's related to change is that there's this fear of moving on or getting out means that we are giving up or failing, right? That fear of failure, that fear of telling someone, you know, really it's what other people think about us and what we think about ourselves. There's also the fear that change is scary, right? There's the fear that we don't know where to go from here. There's that uncertainty. There's that lack of confidence. We get so used to routines and doing the same thing that when change is presented into our life, that can be scary, and this is okay. I think the important questions to ask, so especially if right now you're thinking, you know, I'm in this situation and I'm trying to navigate. Do I switch careers? Do I end a relationship? Do I start a new relationship? Do I move to a different state? Right? These are big changes. And if you're trying to ask yourself to if you need to take that leap or if you need to make a change, some of the questions that I like to think of are, one, are there challenges that are going to push you? You know, are there growth opportunities for you? So that can be whether you choose to stay in something or if you choose to take that leap, take that risk and do something different. Another really important question is about your happiness. Is what I'm currently doing making me happy? Is my heart still in it? That's a really good thing to go back to because if it's not making you happy, man, life is short, right? Life is so short. So making sure that you're happy. Asking yourself, is this a priority or am I prioritizing something else? If you find yourself and it's the end of the day and you're just counting down the minutes till you get to do something else, chances are what you're thinking about, what you want to be doing, that's where you should be. Likewise, if you're in a relationship and you're thinking about other people that you want to be spending time with, right? It's normal to, especially after the holidays, right? We spend a lot of time with maybe whoever you live with or your significant other. But if you're finding that there's other people you want to be around, maybe those are the people who you should be spending that time with. And then, is there a conflict that cannot be resolved? Meaning you've been trying to solve this conflict, it's not being resolved, it continues to bring, you know, frustration into your life, and there's just nothing coming from it. That's a really good sign that change needs to happen. Another one is, do I deserve this, right? The stress that you're experiencing, maybe how you're being treated. I don't think that we are owed anything in life by any means. But how you're treated and what you put yourselves through, you know, knowing what your worth is and what you're willing to put up with, right? Again, that goes back to the shit sandwich. Man, that's like a common phrase in today's episode. Maybe that's what this podcast should have been called. But that's another thing, is thinking about, what is my self-worth? What is my value? What is my time worth to me, right? Is the time that I'm spending in this career, in this relationship, am I getting out of it what I'm putting into it? So when I started to realize, this was the shifting point for me. When I started to realize that the path that I was on was no longer for me, was when the dynamics with my role started to shift. So not a lot of people know this part of my story, but after I applied for the editorial assistant position and weeks went by, no interview, they end up filling the spot with someone who was outside the company, I was very confused. And I was pulled into my boss's office where I was notified that I was being put on a 30-day improvement plan. Now, I'd never experienced this before in any of my other jobs, and I didn't know what that meant. I, now knowing what it is, I wasn't given a plan of action. I was not told what the expectation was. I really wasn't even told what I was doing wrong. All that I was told was, I remember this sticking out to me, is part of the conversation was that I was too calm and that I should be running around here almost like I'm treading water, trying to keep my head afloat. And I remember walking away from that conversation thinking, that's not me though. You know, I mean, I get stressed, I get anxious, but when I want to do my best work, I know that I need to find calm for me to really show up. And so that was a sign that started to stick out to me as far as like work environment. So I took the feedback that I had received, which really wasn't much, and I figured, okay, well, maybe that just means I need to be working more. How many times have you been in that situation where you feel like I'm not doing my job well enough? Maybe I just need to put in more hours. And that's what I did. I worked even longer hours during the days. I started to come in on the weekends, and things seemed like they, I don't know if it felt like they were going better, but they didn't seem like they were going worse. And at the end of the 30 days, nothing had happened. There was no follow-up. I figured I was in the clear. But after those 30 days, I started to realize that there were these strange meetings that kept popping up on her calendar. And I managed the calendar, right? I would control everything that would go in and make sure that she was available to go to her kids' recitals and appointments and important events. And so when I started seeing these weird names pop up in her schedule and start seeing these people who were almost like secretly being brought into her office, which that was my job, I started to wonder what was going on. And a week or two later, I was told that since I was seeing other people and that they too were starting to see other people and that I was being let go of. This was, I think, one of the most hurtful parts of this job. And it didn't make a lot of sense to me because I hadn't applied for any other companies. I'd only applied for that one role. And it really made me, again, have to sit. So right, that fear. I was very uncomfortable. I was very fearful for what was ahead of me. I had no backup plan. And I had to really reflect on that and think about what that meant for me. So because of this, I was being let go. And I was told that I had 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, man, I mean, you want to talk about treading water and trying to keep my head above float. I mean, I was treading water at that point. And I was applying for anything that I knew would at least get me through until whatever the next opportunity was. Oh, man, I applied to host different events. There's like modeling opportunities. Once though, guys, this is wild. This is so wild. Allie, if you're listening, you were like the best friend during this. She and I applied to serve popsicles at a monster truck rally. I don't even know. I got on this bus. It takes you out to Queens, and it's this monster truck rally. And they put you in these orange shirts. And mine, I probably could have fit three of me in this shirt. It is, you guys, it is like so hot outside. I want to say it was like 90 degrees with humidity, something in this huge ass shirt selling popsicles. And when it's that hot, right, the popsicles are going to melt. So you are under, it was so stressful, actually. You're like underneath a certain time. You had a certain amount of time you had to sell the popsicles in, and you had to sell a certain quota. And Allie didn't even need to do this. Allie worked for prevention, so that's how I met her. But she was such a good friend. She said, I'm not going to let you do this alone. I'm going with you. Isn't that a great friend? The one, though, that really got me is I had applied to be a hostess or a waitress at this really like high-scale, upscale, high-end restaurant. And I remember walking down these flight of stairs, and in the back corner, there's this wraparound table, and there's these beautiful women sitting there. I'm like, wow, what am I doing? Like, this is, I'm majorly out of my comfort. I'm telling you, the most uncomfortable year of my life. And I go to sit down, and I remember talking to the girl next to me, and she's like, I'm a little bit nervous. I said, me too. I've never waitressed before. I've never waitressed. I've never been a hostess anywhere. And she said, well, I'm just kind of nervous because my sister was telling me about what kind of guys are here. I'm like, what kind of guys are here? Well, yeah, I mean, you know, guys are going to take people on dates too, and or guys are going to come eat here. And she goes, do you know what you're applying for? And I said, well, yeah, to be a waitress. And oh my gosh, I was horrified. Come to find out it was for like a escort service. What? The things you find on Craigslist, you guys. So it was, man, that was a low week. That was a really, really low week. And I remember going into work on Monday, just disheartened, feeling low, thinking this is it. I'm going to have to pack up, move back home. And I got pulled into HR for an exit interview. And during that interview, you know, they asked what my experience was like and if they could help me find a new job because they were really disappointed to see me leaving the company and that I was quitting. And I remember I blacked out. I remember hearing that and freezing. And I said, excuse me? And they said, yeah, we're really, you know, when she told us that you're quitting, we're really sorry to see that you were leaving. And I said, well, I was told that I was being let go of. And it just, that was a moment. I think if there was any straw that was the final straw, that was the final straw where I realized the universe is sending me signs. And this is the final sign that I'm not supposed to be here. It made for a really uncomfortable final week because I still had to work for my boss for that week. And left a really bad taste in my mouth, which really bummed me out because I had formed some fantastic relationships there. And I did really like what the magazine did. I will say walking out of that situation, though, my husband, or I guess he was my boyfriend at the time, he was a lawyer. And so I did end up getting a pretty nice severance package out of that. I got to go and surprise my mom, who was working in Crater Lake, and spend time with my husband, go rafting and see Tom Petty. I go spend time with one of my best friends and celebrate her wedding while I figured life out. You know, and that moment was a really pivotal moment for me. And I think this is where going to those last few questions that you should be asking yourself when you're trying to navigate the course of direction of your path. You know, is what you're doing excite you? And my excitement for what I was doing ceased to exist at that point. And another thing would be is if you're dreaming of something else, right? That goes back to, is this a priority still? Or are you thinking of something else? And at the time I had started, one thing that was a consistent for me is I remember taking a hot yoga class in Boise when I was competing in Miss Idaho and just being like mesmerized by the teacher and thinking, how cool would that be to get to be a yoga instructor and share your message, share your words and encourage people to move their bodies in a way that empowers them. And so when I was working at Women's Health, one of the women who I would work with, she had gotten her yoga certification on the weekends through Yoga Works. And so when I made this career path change, I decided I was going to fully invest myself in health and fitness and helping people to feel empowered in their bodies. And so that was when the job that I did actually get, I did not work any more monster truck rallies, I'll tell you that. But I ended up making up a fake resume to apply for Justin Timberlake's restaurant just so I could pay my bills. My friend had worked there and I had no waitressing experience, but you know what? I was reinvigorated, right? I'd found that excitement again. And I remember having no waitressing experience, working in Hell's Kitchen. So it's right by Times Square. So very touristy, always slamming. Our brunches were, oh my gosh. I would walk away from brunch. My paycheck would be what I made in a month working for Women's Health. It was insane. I was like, what have I been doing this whole time? So, but this excitement, right? Like I was still uncomfortable. I was still just the first night that I waitressed. I remember I was taking waters out and the guy goes, have you ever done this before? And I said, oh yeah, no, sure. And he goes, no, you've never waitressed before in your life. And he said, if you get us in trouble, I'm gone too. So you better not mess this up. And I didn't. I was there for a little over a few months, saved up enough money to go and travel Asia and get my yoga certification. And it was the change that I needed. I think, you know, things do happen for a reason. And there was a lot of resistance within that. Some of that resistance I had to lean into so I could develop skills, right? That sense of resilience and working for what I wanted. Standing up for myself. And so the last thing that I would encourage you, two last things that I would encourage you to think of. You know, one thing that I ask myself now, because I'm someone who will say yes to anything that excites me, is I ask, does it excite me? Does it challenge me to grow? And does it make me feel empowered? You know, these three questions really helped me to be at peace with the changes that had happened in my life and the direction that I was moving in, and to feel like just like I was in control of the direction I was going. And then the last scenario that I'd put yourself in is that if this was your last year, you know, not your last day, because, you know, the change that you are looking to make likely is going to take longer than a day, but giving yourself a year. If this was your last year, would you be happy with what you're doing, or does something need to change? I think that's a good situation to put yourself in, or a good scenario to visualize yourself in. So I don't know if that story, where that story puts you at, or if you can connect to any of it, but thank you for letting me open up, and thank you for letting me share my experience. I hope that you are able to take something away from that or from the questions that I've shared with you. And you know, if you are ready to move forward or you're ready to take that leap, I can help you get there, right? As a coach, part of what my job is to not just support you, but also to help you cultivate your most empowered your life or your zest life. Right now, I'm doing the Empowered You group coaching, and it's about working together to create this space where each individual feels seen, they feel heard, they feel supported, and then I provide resources that will support them to create the change that they're looking for. So if that's something that you're looking for, I say let's dive into it. Let's dive into it. Let's not waste any more time. I'll help you create a vision roadmap to get there, and I will provide you with that same space of support, of encouragement, and holding you accountable to starting the things that you say you want to do and being consistent in your actions. All right, my friends. Well, I hope that you are just rejuvenated, restored going into this new year, and that this was beneficial for you. I will look forward to catching up with you again next time on Your Zest Life. Have a great day. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth. and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.